Thank you, thank you, thank you. And hello, Christians. Grace and mercy. Stay right there. Perfect. Grace and mercy and peace is yours from God, our Heavenly Father. Have any of you in this room ever seen an old show called The Bob Newhart Show? Oh, perfect. If you haven't, please go home and Google him. It is worth a Google. One of my favorite all-time Bob Newhart skits starts off like this. Somebody comes in to see Bob, and Bob's playing a doctor, and they come in to see Bob, and they say, "Doc, I got a problem. I got a problem. You see, I'm scared. I'm scared of being buried alive inside of a box." And Bob says, "Yeah, that is a problem. But look, before we get started, I got to tell you how my billing works. You see, it's $5 for the first 5 minutes." "Whoa," she says. No, Bob said. "We're not going to need more than just a few moments here together." So she continues and says, "Look, Doc, I'm scared of being buried alive inside of a box." And Bob says, "Look, I have two words that are going to change your life forever. You don't need to write them down. They're two simple words." And Bob just looks at her and says, "Two words that are going to change your life. Stop it. Just stop it. What is wrong with you? Do you hang out with people that bury other people inside of boxes? Just stop it." I was scared of this in my childhood because I had two older brothers. God bless childhood. But Bob, you see, tried to change this person by just two simple words. He thought by saying, "Stop it," he could change this whole person's life. How awesome would that be if it was as simple as that? If I have some moral failing, some character flaw, and I could just look at myself and say, "Stop it, Jacob, just stop it." Well, life's not that easy, is it? Human life is a hot mess of complex emotions and ideas and stages of lives. And those two words alone are not going to cut it. But thanks be to God. Today we hear two words that have and are and will cut it. These two words aren't "stop it," but they're Jesus Christ in the gospel. This is why St. Paul can say those words, "We might be pressed in on every side, and yet we are never crushed. We are the people of God who might be accused, but we are never condemned. We might stumble, but we will never fall because of what Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who is our rest, is doing for us." Now, at this point in the sermon, we're going to take a time out. All right? We're going to take a time out. And to ease my conscience, I just got to do a little aside with you, if that's all right. There are a number of ways, did you know? There are a number of ways that you can talk about the word "the gospel." Here in our sermon for today, we're going to spend time talking about two different ways. And really, the sermon is just going to focus on one. But the first way you can talk about the gospel is this. There are 66 books in our Bible, 66 books in our Bible, and 62 of them point to a guy named Jesus Christ. 62 of them point to the guy named Jesus Christ, but only four books. Just four books actually talk about what the guy said and what the guy did. And when you think about it, it's not that much material. And they're so important for the church that we make everybody stand up for them every single week, and we call them the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But today our sermon is going to focus on this way that we can talk about the gospel, and perhaps you're more familiar with this. The gospel is everything that Jesus Christ has ever done for you, including but not limited to coming as a little baby boy, filling his little baby diaper, going through puberty, starting his earthly public ministry, ministering to those people for 3 long years, going to the cross and dying for you, being dead for a real 3 days for you, being raised from the dead for you, and now ascended to the right hand of God the Father for you. We smush all of this together and we call it the gospel, Jesus Christ, and it's given to you. That's the gospel. All right, now back to the sermon. Okay, easy peasy. And Jesus Christ and St. Paul says that this message, this gospel, has the power to change lives, and only this power to change lives. But boy, oh boy, do we hear a different message sometimes. If you're anything like me, you've heard quite often, yeah, okay, that gospel stuff, but you need the gospel and. Okay, yeah, Jesus, he's a good guy, he's a good moral teacher, but you need Jesus and. That's not what Jesus says today. Not what St. Paul says today. St. Paul says we are crushed in on every side, but we are never found wanting. We are never fully destroyed because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, what are some things in your lives that you are struggling with? What are some things in your life that the gospel is working on in your life that the gospel is going to change? Now, if you're anything like me at first, you might say, I'm a perfect human specimen. I need no changing. And if that is the case, please turn and talk to someone in your family, and they'll hopefully help you out. I know my wife does from time to time, because I know that all of us, it's just part of that human condition. We have things that the gospel can and is working on. So I ask you today, saints here at church, what are some things you need to work on? Perhaps one of them is this. Perhaps you have an overly critical spirit. Maybe you have a bad attitude at work. Maybe you're a person who just worries all the time. Come on now, I invite you, if you want to get something more out of this sermon, then all right, I clocked in, I clocked out, I did my hour. I invite you, please, to be honest with yourself. Are you a dishonest person? Are you a binge eater? Binge drinker, binge spender. Is there something in your past that you just can't let go of? And you might say, preacher, you know, I know one day I'm going to stand before Jesus. One day I'm going to stand before Jesus and my robe's washed white, and yeah, the gospel's going to do something then. But what hope is there for today? What hope is there that today is going to be better than tomorrow? What hope is there that I'm not going to be stuck in some human hell forever? And the answer is two words. It is Jesus Christ and his gospel for you. Now, I wanted to share with you one of my favorite portions of Scripture that I come across and I read quite often. It's from the book of Colossians. If you haven't read it, Colossians is a pretty short book. You can click through it in about 15 minutes. But I love the way that St. Paul starts off his message in this book. St. Paul, from Colossians, starts off his book by saying these words. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And I love how St. Paul does this, because I think he is being very intentional when he uses these words. Because, you see, St. Paul says we have been transferred from Satan's kingdom and now into Jesus' kingdom of rest in the Sabbath. Now look, I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, because look, I can transfer myself, okay, you watching, from this side of the, what do you call this? Step, stairs, stage, something. I can transfer myself to this side of the thing over to this side of the thing. But I think St. Paul is doing something at a deeper level. He, I think, is using this metaphor. For you see, back then, when our first readers would have heard this message, you see all of these bigger countries back in the Middle East at that time, there was all of this conflict, and the bigger countries would oftentimes take over the smaller countries. And the bigger army who won, they had to figure out, what are we going to do with the civilians, the non-combatants? And what often would happen is the bigger country would take those non-combatants and move them to a different part of the empire. They didn't want some cohesive unit to start a rebellion, so they transferred those non-combatants. And this is the image that St. Paul uses for you. You are the people who used to belong to Satan. Your old address used to be the Dominion of Darkness Lane, but St. Paul says your new address is the forgiveness of sins place. Jesus Christ comes and he is on a rescue mission, lock, stock, and barrel. It started 2,000 years ago and it is taking place today, and it happens because of Jesus Christ and his gospel. We don't begin with God and then graduate with our performance. We don't start with Jesus and then graduate with what we do. And if you push me on it hard enough, I'll even go so far as to say, I don't change by me doing my best for Jesus. I change by Jesus doing his best for me. That's the gospel. That's the Sabbath. And that's what you have as the people of God. Now, shifting gears ever so slightly, I wanted to use an analogy to help us talk about my last little point for today, and it's this. There was a movie out a number of years ago, and it was called A Beautiful Mind. Called A Beautiful Mind. I think it's still on Netflix, actually, but it's called A Beautiful Mind, and it's based on a true story. It's the story of a man named John Nash, and he was a brilliant, brilliant scientist. He ended up winning the Nobel Peace Prize, but it's based on a true story because for 20 years of this person's life, he went certifiably insane. And he went insane, and he saw all these people who weren't really there. So John, he had a roommate who wasn't actually there. He saw a government official who was always following him around. And in almost every scene, there was a 7-year-old girl who wasn't really there, but only John could see this person. And at the end of the movie, John wins this incredible award. He wins this incredible award of a lifetime. And after he goes up and he receives it, he sits back down and somebody leans over and says, John, congratulations for everything. But I know everything that happened in your life. And I just got to ask you. You know those friends of yours. Do you still see them? And John leans in close and says, yeah. I do. I just don't listen to them anymore. Well, saints, here at Concordia, let me introduce you to three of my unseen friends. Here is my friend of constant worry. Here is my friend of constant perfectionism. And here is my friend of constant doubt. And these three friends of mine, they're always here. And I see them even though you don't. They're always there lingering in the background. And saints, I have no idea what your friends might be. Maybe you only have one friend, maybe you have 100 friends, but I know they're there, lingering with you. You can see them in the background. But St. Paul and Jesus Christ tells us today, St. Paul and Jesus Christ tell us today that the only thing which is going to change that reality, the only thing which is going to bring us into a new life, the two words that are going to do that is not stop it, but is Jesus Christ in the gospel. And because of the gospel, I might see my friends, you might see your friends, but you don't have to listen to them anymore. This is our gift, this is our reality as a Christian, this is what we have in our Sabbath rest, this is what we have from God. May our Jesus always keep us mindful of this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I invite you to please pray with me at this time about those things. Heavenly Father, we have explored the topic of Sabbath rest today. It is your gospel that you have given to us. Lord, there are times where we might struggle with the things going on in our lives, our unseen friends. We ask you to please intervene. Even though we live in a sinful world and the reality is we might see some of those people from time to time, Lord, we ask you to help us not listen to them, to give us grace to empower us, and to give us grace to forgive us, which is only found in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.